Hal Roach, the famous Irish comedian, he tells us the interesting story of a lady who wanted to buy something from the chemist. So she drove to the shopping centre, she went to the pharmacy, she got her item, and she walked back to her car. And then she realised with great frustration that she had locked the keys in the car. So she was very angry with herself. So she clasped her hands and she raised her eyes to heaven and said, "Lord, please send me help." 2 minutes later, a motorcyclist came and parked beside her. The man had a black helmet, dark glasses, and a flowing beard, and the lady froze with fear. But the man said to her very politely, "How can I help you, ma'am?" And the lady said, "I have mistakenly left my keys locked in the car. Can you please help me?" And the man said, "Sure." So he dipped into his toolbox, he took out a couple of implements, he took out some wires, he worked on the front door for about 5 minutes, and the door opened. And he said, "All right, ma'am, here you are, the door's open, please have a good day." The lady was so grateful that she gripped his hands warmly and said, "Thank you, sir, you are a nice man." And he said, "No, ma'am, I'm not a nice man. I've just been released from prison." And so she said, "Why were you in prison?" And he said, "Because I was stealing cars." So the lady joined her hands. She looked up to heaven and she said, "Dear Lord, I asked for help. Not only did you send me help, but you even sent me a professional." The theme of my message this afternoon can be framed in just one sentence. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. My dear brothers and sisters, one of the priests I greatly admire, even though I've never met him, is Father John Paul. Father John Paul is a Jesuit priest and was a lecturer in theology at the prestigious Loyola University in Chicago. On one occasion, Father John Paul was required to deliver a series of lectures on the theology of faith, and the students were free to opt for this course. Among those who had opted for the course was a young man named Tommy, who was an unapologetic atheist. And he did not hesitate to inform Father. There, he said, "I am here, Father, much against my will." During the class, Tommy was inattentive, resentful, and rebellious, even disrespectfully removing his hairbrush from his backpack to straighten out his shoulder-length golden flaxen hair. Stated differently, Tommy did not hesitate to make his intentions arrogantly clear with one unmistakable message to Father John Paul. "Don't try to force your views on me. If you do, I'll give you a hard time." Father Paul picked up the message, but he conscientiously proceeded to do what he was required to do. On one occasion shortly thereafter, the students were required to hand in a paper. Tommy waited till the last student had left the classroom. Then he went up to Father and handed in his paper. Taking his paper, he handed it in and said to Father Paul, "Tell me, Father, will I ever find God?" Father was taken aback by this question, so he hesitated for a few minutes, and then he responded. He said, "No, Tommy, you will not find God. But God will find you." Not much later, Tommy, of his own accord, came over to see Father John Paul. He looked haggard and lean. His long flaxen hair and smug arrogance had vanished as a result of intensive chemotherapy. Tommy had terminal cancer in both his lungs and had been given a few weeks to live. Very politely, Father Paul asked, "Tommy, how do you feel?" And the boy, the young man, responded very candidly, "Quite honestly, Father, I feel as though I'm 50, having no ideals or values, and thinking that seducing women and making money are the real biggies in life." Father Paul listened in speechless silence. He couldn't believe his ears. So Tommy continued, "However, Father, I've come to see you about something different. You remember telling me that I would not find God, but that God would find me? I feel God is using this sickness to reach out and touch me. He really is." After a long pause, Tommy continued, "On one occasion, Father, I remember you saying that the essential sadness is to go through this life without loving someone. But it would be almost equally sad to go through life and leave this world without ever telling those you loved that you truly love them." I remember those words very vividly. "So that's what I did, Father. I decided to visit my father, to whom I had not spoken for years because of a very serious misunderstanding. When I entered, I greeted my father. He was reading the daily newspaper, and he was aware of my presence. But he made his intentions clear when he raised the newspaper to cover his face. The message was clear: I don't want to talk to you. Leave as soon as possible. I wasn't perturbed, nor did I turn around and leave, Father. Instead, I said to my father, 'Dad, I have terminal cancer, and I do not have much longer to live. And so I've come to say to you that I'm truly sorry, and that I truly love you.' Father," added Tommy, "you're not going to believe what happened next. Very slowly, my father rose from his chair and he let the newspaper slide to the ground. Rising from his chair, he came up to me and he embraced me with a warm hug. As can be expected, both of us cried, literally sobbed, at the joy of being reconciled and to know that the love within us had literally sprouted and bloomed in one memorable moment." "What came next was astounding," said Tommy. "I turned around, Father, and God was there. As you said, he would find me, and he did. He actually did. Apparently, God does things in his own way and in his own time. But the important thing is that God was there. You were right, Father. God found me, even though I had stopped looking for him." Father John Paul was so deeply moved that he invited Tommy to share his story with the students in his class. Initially, Tommy was hesitant, but after a few thoughtful moments, he agreed. Unfortunately, Tommy was unable to keep the appointment, only because he had another, more important appointment with God. Tommy returned to his Creator, who had emphatically said to Jesus on the occasion of his baptism at the hands of John the Baptist, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I can well imagine God rising from his throne, going forward to greet Tommy with a warm embrace. "You are my beloved Son, Tommy, in whom I am well pleased." If I can make a brief digression, brothers and sisters, when the Israelites were crossing the desert, Moses was their leader and liberator. And every day Moses would retire to the top of Mount Sinai to converse with God. And God would have give Moses a message which he would relay to the people. And the people were very touched. So one day they challenged Moses and they said, "Please, ask God, what is his name?" That's what Moses did. The next time he met God, he said, "God, could you please tell me your name? The people are most eager to know." And God replied, "I am who I am." For us, that may not make much sense, because we give names to designate specific people. John is not Paul, and Paul is not John. And John and Paul are not Mark and Peter. However, in the days of Jesus and even before that, when a person gave a name to a person, to another, that was to reveal the essence of that person. So when God said, "I am who I am," God was revealing his essence. Stated simply, God was saying, "I am essentially a God of love, and my love for all is unconditional, gratuitous, and unchanging. I have no favorites. I have nothing but your best interests at heart always and in all circumstances. Remember, I am love, and those who abide in love abide in me, and I abide in them." My dear brothers and sisters, this in a nutshell is my message to one and all as we respectfully commemorate the baptism of Jesus and joyfully celebrate our own. Even though we were far too small to appreciate the significance of this unique milestone. But that each of us can legitimately say with legitimate pride, we can happily boast, "I am indeed a child of God, and God has no favorites. God loves me with an unconditional, gratuitous, and unchanging love. I have been fashioned unto the image and likeness of God. In that lies my personal worth and divine dignity. Even more, by virtue of my baptism, I am a beloved son. I am a beloved daughter of God. He has carved me on the palm of his hand. I belong to God. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen."